number 3. Bring the message tonight entitled Easter is a Bible Word. Amen. Easter is a Bible Word. There's a lot of discussion about whether or not Christian churches ought to celebrate Easter, and a lot of discussion about whether or not it's a pagan holiday or whether it's allowed or promoted in the Scriptures, and there's discussion about whether or not even the word Easter itself is correct or used correctly in the King James Bible in Acts chapter number 12 and verse number 4. There we go. So we'll read a few verses here, and then we'll have a lesson for you. I think it'll be helpful to you. I think it'll be interesting to you. But you have to pretty well listen to the whole thing. If you miss out on part of it, the rest of it will just seem like an academic endeavor. And we don't want it to be academic, do we? I mean, nothing wrong with being academic. But it'd be good if we were enthused about it. And I tell you, some people say, well, I just know what I believe, and that's all that counts. Well, now the truth is we ought to know what we believe, and we ought to believe what we believe because the Bible says it, or not believe it because the Bible forbids it. And there's a lot of things that some Christian groups and some Christian individuals believe that they believe it just because they heard somebody say it, and is not actually taught in the Word of God. And some people are against something because it's said by others that you ought to be against it, and so they're against it. And there's some things we ought to be against, and some things we ought to be for. Be against it or be for it, but be something. And whatever you are, you ought to be that because the Bible is on your side. Now, Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. The word vex means he's given them a rough time. Verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, who? Peter. He put him in prison and delivered him to the 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him. Intending after... Next word. Easter. Well, it is in the Bible, isn't it? But some argue about why it's in the Bible. Intending after Easter, whatever it is, to bring him forth to the people. Well, so here's the story. You've read the rest of the story in that chapter before. And Peter's in jail. The angel comes and gets him out of jail. And people are praying for him. He gets out and he's delivered. But him being in jail and this thing of Easter gives us something to anchor our belief about what we believe about the reason we ought to celebrate Easter or not celebrate Easter. This gives us a good deal of study, along with some other verses to be tied to it. And so we'll talk about that tonight. Easter is a Bible word, and we could give it a subtitle if you'd like. Should this be Easter or Passover in Acts chapter 12? Well, let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd bless us. Lord, give us the unction of the Holy Spirit of God as we go into these verses and into the study of this thing called Easter. Lord, we want to know what your will is. We don't care what the masses say. We don't care what culture says. We don't care what the naysayers say, nor the liberals say. Lord, we want to know what you say. And I pray that you'd bless us, and may the Holy Spirit of God take us through the Scriptures and teach us what you'd have us to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, everything about Easter is not good. I'll just say that up front. Everything about Christmas is not good. I celebrate Christmas because it's the birthday of Christ. Yeah, there's a lot of argument about whether or not it was December 25th or not. I think it's as good a date as any. And there's some who are just absolutely convinced that those of us who believe that it could be December 25th, they think we are completely ignorant and have no handle on the Scriptures whatsoever. But I suggest to you that they might not have studied as well as they should, because it is very well possible that it could be December 25th when Christmas is celebrated. I'm for Christmas. I'm for the birth of Christ. I'm for preaching about it. And I'm for celebrating it. I'm not for drunken office parties at Christmas. I'm not for the pagan parts that may have nothing to do with the birth of Christ whatsoever. I'm not for all the exaggerated commercialism and people going into debt thousands of dollars on credit cards that takes them the rest of the year to pay off because of a dumb bunch of purchases at Christmas time. I'm not for that, but I'm for the birth of Christ, and I'm for studying the birth of Christ and preaching about it, and I'm for celebrating. And I'm that way about Easter. There's parts of Easter. I'm not for everything about Easter. Now, I have no idea what a bunny rabbit would have to do with Easter. I have no idea what Easter eggs would have to do with Easter. And so some of those things. Now, am I going to go out to the park? Am I going to go out to the park when they have an Easter egg hunt and step on their eggs and squash them? No, I'm not going to do that. I don't have a big problem. If they want to hunt eggs, that's fine with me. And I'm not against kids playing games. And in all sincerity, I doubt if there's a kid in Searcy who worships a bunny rabbit. Honest truth is, kids take their Easter baskets and go out and hunt Easter eggs. I don't think they're practicing a pagan religion. I don't think they have any idea that their purpose for being out there is to worship some kind of pagan god. And I don't think that's what their parents are trying to teach them. So I'm just saying, relax and don't take those things too awfully serious. There may have been some pagan roots way back there, but I doubt that anybody knows much about them now. But because of the unnecessary parts of Easter, you know, I don't want to make a big deal out of that, but I am for celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? The resurrection of Christ is a real thing. Now, I want to take us through a lesson in this, Acts chapter 12, especially verse number 4. Notice with me again down there, it says, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. That word Easter in your King James Bible was translated from a Greek word called Pascha, P-A-S-C-H-A. And it's the word from which we get Passover in the Old Testament. And so because the underlying Greek word is Pascha, and it's been translated Passover in a lot of places in the Bible, There are those who are critics of the King James Bible said, well, see there, they have just mistranslated that word. That shouldn't be Easter at all. It should be Passover. Well, let's look at this thing tonight and read the verse with me one more time. The verse in dispute especially. Now, we're going to look at the whole passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 12, but this verse in particular, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, I want to just mention as I start that this is not all original research with me. I'm indebted to these sources for the information that you'll see tonight. And there's Oakwood Baptist Church in Flower Branch, Georgia. They had a very good outline. Nick Sayers, I've read some of the stuff by him over the last 3 or 4 years. And especially some of his things on TextusReceptus.com, and then also at EasterAU.com, and they also have some things by Nick Sayers and some others about this particular thing. So they've done a lot of labor, and I appreciate the labors that others go into. It saves me from having to reinvent the wheel all over again. And I may not be very original, but I'm one of the world's best copycats you'll ever see. So let's think about the critics of the word. The appearance of the word Easter in the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 4, has long been considered a translation error by those who criticize our King James Bible. And commentators who disagree with the use of Easter believe that the underlying Greek word, Pascha, should be translated as Passover as it is in all the other places in the Bible. So are they right? Well, there's a group of people who, like I and most of you, believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God, that we don't need another translation to give us a better understanding. We just need to use the one we've got. And in fact, we believe the King James Bible is inerrant, infallible, that it has been preserved from the infallible Scriptures all the way along. The Bible is correct. The King James Bible doesn't contain any errors at all. Now, having said that, there are some good men who have written on this subject, and they've tried to defend the King James Bible and the use of the word Easter in verse number 4 of Acts chapter 12. But they have two major weaknesses in their arguments, which leave them open to criticism by those who try to become enemies of the King James Bible. So here, listen, if you try to defend something and you don't present a good argument, what's going to happen? They're going to shoot your arguments down and you're going to look like a fool. Now think about that for a minute. It's not okay just to throw up an argument if you don't have an argument that will stand. It's better to just say, if you don't have a good argument, it's better to just say, I don't know. Right? Sometimes people ask me as pastor, they'll ask me a question about the Bible, and maybe I haven't studied on that particular thing, or if I did, I've forgotten what I learned about it. And sometimes somebody will ask me a question, and I've learned this, instead of trying to fake it, it's better to say, well, I don't know, but let me study and I'll find out. Don't be ashamed to say, I don't know. None of us know everything. Except for Rush Limbaugh. He'll tell you he does on the radio. Okay. So, the traditional argument. So what we're thinking about first, look here, what we're thinking about first is that there are some good men out there who have argued that Easter is the right word in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, but their arguments have flaws, and that's why we're looking for something better. And so they claim that Peter was taking during the days of unleavened bread, the Passover had already gone by. And then the result of that claim is, they say the King James translators got it right, calling it Easter instead of Passover. They got it right by not creating a contradiction by using the word Passover. So in other words, they avoided having a contradiction. If they used the word Passover, it would have been wrong because the Passover was past and they were in the days of unleavened bread, is what they say. But here's the hole in the argument. The word Passover was also used to refer to the entire week, not just the day of Passover. You know what yesterday was? April 15th? It's Passover. Now, Passover is a particular day, but what if the Bible, listen, what if the Bible refers to those days of unleavened bread as Passover the whole section of time? What if I get a week's? What if I'm working at? What if I'm working in Alaska, away from home, and I get a 2 week vacation for Christmas? And I say I'm going home for Christmas. Well, I'm not just going home for one day. I'm going home for that 2 weeks, 2 weeks of Christmas. Okay, and so that's the way it is with Passover. So can we prove that? Sure can. In Luke chapter 22, verse number 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, there it is, see it? The feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. So the days of unleavened bread are called the Passover. It's not just one day. Thus, the critics of the King James can attack the traditional argument using Luke 22 as a support. And those critics will say, the word Passover can apply to the entire week, so the word Pascha, the underlying Greek word in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, should be translated Passover, not Easter. Do you see that? How they would take our argument and shoot it down and say, well, it shouldn't be Easter at all. It should be Passover, because Passover can refer to the whole days of unleavened bread. Well, traditional argument flaw number two. They appeal, those who want to, who defend the King James Bible. Thank God they're trying to defend the King James Bible. I believe it is accurate. I believe it is right. No flaws. But they try to go around the world to do it, and what they do is try to connect the word Easter with the pagan goddess Ishtar. This has been taught among strict fundamentalist for many years now. The word on, based on phonetics, the word Easter and Ishtar and Oster and some other words that sound alike phonetically, and so they tie them together and make it to be a connection, Easter connected with Ishtar. And they say, well, see, there, Easter is a pagan celebration. It's a pagan word. That Herod celebrated a festival heathen goddess at the same time as Passover. So, look, they're saying, we're talking about the good people who try to defend the King James Bible, but they link the word Easter to Ishtar, the pagan goddess, and they say that Herod, what he was celebrating there in Acts chapter 12, it was Herod who was celebrating Easter, and he wanted to wait till his holiday was over, the pagan holiday was over, so he could bring Peter forth and have him executed. And these same people who defend the King James Bible based on the pagan story, they say that Herod wanted to wait to execute Peter until this festival was passed. It is concluded that this is why the word Easter was used. So here's what they say. Those who defend the King James Bible by using the Ishtar connection, they say that that's exactly why the word Easter was used instead of Passover in translating the word Pascha. Because Herod was a goddess worshiper and the worshiper of Ishtar, and so he wanted to wait till his holiday was over. Well, many connect Ishtar because of a book called The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. You ever heard of that one? The Two Babylons? There's a lot of good stuff in the book Two Babylons by Hislop. But Mr. Hislop made some good statements in there, but he connects a lot of dots by making a long leap that should not be connected. Look here. You ever hear the rooster crow in the morning? You ever hear a rooster crow in the morning? You ever hear one crow while it's still dark in the morning? Yeah, they do, don't they? And right after they crow, the sun comes up. Therefore, a rooster crowing causes the sun to rise. Huh? Is that true? No. And Mr. Hislop makes some dots connect that are just about that big of a leap. Do you know neckties, according to, I don't remember if it's in Hislop's book or not, but there's some other people who have written things like Alexander Hislop. And don't get me wrong, he wrote some good things. But he just made some errors and some faulty research. Did you know that some of the writers like him say that neckties are clearly a sign of the devil? Say, I knew there was something about you, preacher. Well, you wouldn't believe. I'm not going to go into detail and tell you why, but there's some pretty faulty reasoning. They talk about some pagan practices in the past. They talk about how the pagans had this. They worshipped an obelisk. And so, therefore, neckties are shaped like them, so they're wrong. They're of the devil. Well, that's a big jump. So Hislop makes some conclusions that are easily debunked by the critics of the KJV. So if we're going to make arguments based on what Hislop said, and Hislop can be proven to be wrong, then our arguments with Hislop are not very good. You see what I'm saying? If we're going to make arguments, we want to make sure they're easily defensible. We don't want to make weak arguments that won't stand. And so it just sets us up to look foolish. Secondly, and more importantly, there's no credible way to connect the Greek word Pascha with any heathen goddess. The word that is underlying the word Easter is what? Pascha. There is no place in the Scriptures, no place whatsoever, anywhere, that the word Pascha can be attached to a pagan goddess of any kind. Of no kind. So the word connection doesn't exist anywhere. That's why it's a big leap. It's trying to connect dots that shouldn't be connected. Herod may have very well been a Ishtar worshiper. I'm not saying he wasn't. He was not a good guy. Herod was a bad guy. I mean, he's about to kill Peter here in Acts chapter 12. He's a bad guy, and he's probably a pagan, and he may have worshipped Ishtar, but that has nothing to do with it. Just because he may or may not have doesn't make an argument that this is what's being said in the Scriptures. So, I'm going to give you three reasons tonight why Easter is the correct word. First, we're going to look at these. We'll look at number one first, then number two. Number one is a brief history of how Pascha was translated by other English versions of the Bible. Other English versions before the King James used Easter instead of Passover or Pascha. And then secondly, we'll look at a link between Pascha and the celebration of Christ's resurrection. Am I losing anybody here? Okay. Pascha is the Greek word that's in question, whether or not it should have been called Easter by translating in our King James Bible, or whether it should have come across as Passover. You know what the Passover is, right? The Passover is the Old Testament celebration of the death angel passing over the children of Israel when they were still in slavery in Egypt. The Passover, when the blood was applied to the doorposts, that night that the death angel came through, wherever the Israelites had the blood on the doorpost, the death angel passed over them and did not kill anybody, did not kill their firstborn in their house. So those who attack the King James Bible say that it should be Passover in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. So should it be Passover, and is our King James Bible wrong? Or should it be Easter, just like they said it was, and we've got a good explanation for why it's Easter. So we're going to show the link between the Pascha, the Jewish Passover, and the resurrection of Christ that we celebrate, which is called Easter. Okay. And then number three, the biblical context of Acts chapter 12, verse 4. If we can look at the context and see in the context that the context clearly indicates that it should be the Christian resurrection, the Christian celebration of the resurrection of Christ, that is being taught there, as opposed to the Jewish Passover, then if the context suggests it, we got three good lines of defense to prove that the word Easter is right and that there's a good reason why we celebrate Easter instead of Passover. So, number one, the history of Pascha. Now, what we're going to do in this right here, and this is going to be quick, not going to be long and drawn out, but I just want to show you a quote from several Old English versions that trace the use of the word Easter as opposed to Passover. Okay? So the 1382 Wycliffe Bible, Acts chapter 12, that's English there. Well, it's the way they spelled English back then, right? And when he had caught, you're wondering what that word was, wasn't it? And when he had caught Peter, he sent him into prison and betook to four quaternions of Canidus, I think those are soldiers, to keep him, and would after Pasch, or the Pascha, bring him forth to the pupil. You didn't know people used to be pupils, so you've come a long ways now. Now, here we can see that the Pasch is brought into the English there, but let's look at the way this thing changes down through time. In the 1525 Tyndale New Testament, we see here, if you'll notice, the word Esther or Easter. It's spelled Esther there. And so we see it in 1525 in the Tyndale, it becomes Easter. Uh-oh, I just skipped one. I'm going to let it go by. 1539, the Great Bible. And again, if you notice down here, it was also Easter. And then in 1557, the Geneva New Testament. These are all prior to the King James Bible, which was translated when? 1611. And so there, you can see in 1557, they've got the spelling now, just like it is now, Easter, in that same verse. In 1560, in the Geneva Bible, there was a little relapse, and it went back to Passover. And then in the 1568 Bishop's Bible, what do we got? We've got Easter. And then in the 15... Oh, that's two of them there. 1568. Then the King James Bible that we just read is Easter. And then in 1729, after the King James Bible, the Daniel Mace New Testament also had the word Easter. So you can see that the word Easter is not just in the King James Bible. See, those who are against the King James Bible, they want you to believe that this was just a bunch of dumb translators that translated the King James Bible who didn't have enough manuscripts available to determine that that word should have been Passover and not Easter. The King James translators were intelligent men who had more doctor's degrees than you can shake a stick at, each one of them. Many of them could speak 5, 10, 15 different languages fluently. They were very learned men, and they all worked together on the King James Bible, and they all passed around the different translations when they were working on it to have different ones to review it, and they all had to agree on it. And so all I'm saying here is those critics of the King James Bible, when they try to make you think that, well, that's just the King James that says Easter. No, there's a whole bunch of them that say Easter. In fact, most of them did say Easter previously. In fact, not only is it not alone in translating the Greek word Pascha as Easter in Acts 12:4, the fact is that with the exception of the Wycliffe, all English Bibles prior to 1560 contained the word Easter in Acts 12:4. Let me say it again. With the exception of the Wycliffe, all English Bibles translated prior to 1560 contained the word Easter in Acts 12:4. So it's not just a King James thing. Those scholars all knew about the word Easter. And so early English versions used the word Easter when referring to the Jewish Passover. It became a fad, and they began to get carried away with using it, and they even used it Easter to refer to the Old Testament. And then later on, Tyndale used the word Esther in the New Testament and Passover in the Old. He's the one that coined the word Passover. He's the one that made that word, Passover. It didn't exist until Tyndale came along. And after the word Passover was introduced by Tyndale, then English versions began to use the word Passover more and more in the place of the word Easter. And so the trend was to replace Easter with Passover, and that culminated about 1560, which removes the word Easter entirely and replaces it with Passover every time that underlying Greek word Pascha appears. However, a few English versions retained the word Easter in Acts 12:4 while using the word Passover everywhere else. Now, there's a reason for that, and we're going to come to it. Opponents of the KJV-only movement present the use of Easter in the KJV as if it stands alone in this regard. But it's not true. Those translators knew very well that the other English versions used it. So why do the Bishop's Bible, the Mace New Testament, and the KJV, all three retain Easter in Acts chapter 12, verse 4? Three versions, even after it became popular to use Passover, three versions decided to keep Easter in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Were all three of those translating committees on all three of those English versions of the Bible, were they all ignorant? Were they all deceived and decided that just one instance was, for some reason, not proper to use Passover there? All three had translators who were aware of how the Geneva Bible used Passover instead of Easter, but they all chose to retain the word Easter. And the unity of these three versions suggests that the translators believe that Pascha in Acts 12:4 referred to something other than the Jewish Passover. So, these translators believe that Pascha referred to the Christian celebration, is what I believe, instead of the Jewish celebration. And we'll look at why in just a little while. Now, number two. See, we're already through number one. At this rate, we'll be done before midnight. The link between Pascha, the word Pascha is a Greek word that Easter is translated from, right? Just want to keep reminding you. Now, we can find a link in the story of the Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples. Look here. Here's what we're trying to do. Listen to me. We're trying to find a link between the last, between Pascha, the word that's used mostly for Passover, we're trying to find some link between Passover and the Easter celebration or the resurrection of Christ. And it's found in the story here. The words of Jesus, the words that Jesus speaks at the Passover meal, plainly establish this needed link. Now watch. Luke 22:19. You with me? Watch it right here. Luke 22:19-20. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you." We had the Lord's Supper Sunday night. And we quoted scripture very much like that. Now, a big change. Listen here. A big change came. The word Pascha, yes, is translated Passover everywhere else. From Acts chapter 12, backwards, going back into the Old Testament, it's translated, the same word, Pascha, is translated Passover everywhere else, but it changed in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Why? Well, there's a reason. The Last Supper that Jesus ate with His disciples might more properly be called the Last Passover. Why? Because it was a Passover. That's what Jesus was sharing with His disciples, was a Passover supper. He told His disciples, go prepare a room so that we can eat our Passover together. Well, that's why they were there. So it was a Passover meal. Jesus was about to be offered as the Lamb of God and fulfill that symbolism. He was the innocent Lamb of God, pictured in Passover. So when He died on the cross, He became the Lamb that's pictured in Passover. Now watch this link form right here. And so, in essence, Jesus is telling the disciples that the Passover elements, the bread and the fruit of the vine, that had previously symbolized the death angel passing over the homes of the Hebrews in Egypt, was now to be observed as a symbol of His body and blood. Do you see the change taking place? They're at a Passover supper. And what do the Jews observe at Passover? They observe that blood and remember what they were supposed to eat in their houses? Unleavened bread. That's what's at the Lord's Supper. So now Jesus tells His disciples at a Passover supper, this is not going to represent what's talked about in the Old Testament anymore. It's not going to represent the children of Israel in Egypt anymore. It's going to represent my body and my blood that's being shed for you. So it's undergoing a change. So after the last Passover, from that day forward, Pascha came to mean one thing to the Jew and something else to the Christian. So now Pascha, the Greek word, to the Jew it means Passover. But now since Jesus said, "This is my body and my blood," now the word Pascha to the Christian means what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The gospel. And so, the Jewish Pascha was observed in remembrance of what happened in Egypt. But the Christian Pascha was observed by Christians in remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Thus, Pascha now had two meanings. Whoa. I don't know about you, but this kind of exciting to me. Words undergo changes. In the Old Testament, Pascha was always talking about the passing over of the children of Israel in Egypt. But words sometimes take on new meanings. For instance, the Greek, if you want to go back to the Greek word ekklesia, ekklesia means church. We are an ekklesia. We're a church. But did you know that before the New Testament church was formed, that word was still in existence? It was in existence already. You know what it was used for a lot of times? Just to mean a group of people. Yeah, just a general assembly of people. So if you had a group of secular people to meet in town to have a business meeting for their city, it was a church, an ecclesia. But then after the New Testament church was formed by the Lord Jesus, now we take ecclesia to apply to Christians meeting in their congregations. And so now ecclesia means something in addition to that secular meaning. So ecclesia is just another example of Pascha. Pascha means in the Old Testament the Passover, but now it has a new meaning for New Testament Christians. It is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection. So let's look at Webster's 1828 dictionary, which confirms this association. And here's what he says. A festival of the Christian church, talking about Easter. How does Webster, in 1828, this man was a Christian, by the way, and he was a very prolific writer about Christianity and used Christian answers and Christian scriptures a lot in his dictionary. And he said Easter is a festival of the Christian church observed in commemoration of our Savior's resurrection. Okay, but let's go on. It answers to the Pascha or Passover of the Hebrews, and most nations still give it this name, Pascha, Pasch, or Pasch. So, even Webster's recognizes that. The current world languages that are in existence right now, most of them, or many of them at least, this is not a full list, but just so you can see, a number of well-known languages in the world still use the word Pasch for Easter, the Christian celebration. For instance, in Latin, it's Pascha. Easter is Pascha. In French, it's Pasque. I guess that's the way you pronounce it. Italian is Pasqua. In Dutch, Pasen. Portuguese, Pascoa. Spanish, Pascua. In Danish, Pasch. In Norwegian, Pasque. In Romanian, Pasti. And in Greek, the one we've been talking about all night, is Pascha. So this is just a sampling of languages from all over the world that's still used in the Greek Orthodox Church. You know what they call their Easter celebration that they're going to be when they celebrate Easter? You know what they call it? They still call it Pascha. So, number three, we're on the last point. Boy, we're getting there in a hurry, ain't we? This is just like eating a good meal. It just, man, when you're hungry, it's over with too fast. You get full and you're done, right? Now, if you feel like shouting and running around the room, pulling your shoes off, well, just go ahead. It'll keep us, the rest of us awake, all right? The link between... Now, we're talking about the context. Are you with me? So, we've established two things already to give us a better argument to show that Easter is the right word in the King James Bible and that Easter is a legitimate Christian celebration of the resurrection of Christ. I've been around people who... Man, if you say the word Easter, it's like you just said a dirty four-letter word. I mean, you just say the word Easter and you think they're going to slap you. You say Easter and you think, man, did they think I said a cuss word? Well, there's people who are that hard against it because they've had Mr. Hislop's Two Babylons ideology poured into them so long that they equate Hislop's Two Babylons theology to the Bible. We have one Bible, and that is not Hislop. So, the link between the words Pascha and Easter has now been established, and now we've got to see if we can show that Pascha in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, is indeed referring to the Christian Pascha and not to the Jewish Passover. Now, let's just soak in. What we're going to do right now is attempt to present the position that the King James translators, when they translated Pascha to the word Easter, that they purposely chose that word to refer to the Christian celebration for the resurrection because that is the context of Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Let's see if we can do that. Let me make six statements quickly about this passage. Statement number one, Herod persecuted the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. Is that a true statement? Well, let's read Acts 12:1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. So he did persecute the leaders. Second statement, Herod had already killed James. Acts 12:2. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. True statement. Number three, statement number three, Herod's action pleased the Jews. When he killed James and vexed the others in verse number one, this brought joy to the Jews. So Herod sought to arrest Peter also, intending to execute him as well. Hey, when Herod's killing the Christians, the Jews are cheering him on, saying, "Hallelujah, kill those Christians, man. We hate them." That's what they thought. And so, Herod saw that this pleased the Jews, and in Acts chapter 12, verse 3, bears it out. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Statement number 4. Herod arrested Peter after the day of Passover, during the days of unleavened bread. Well, does the Bible say that? Acts 12, 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So it is a true statement. Statement 5. Herod placed a 24-hour guard around Peter and chained him to a wall. Is that true? Well, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. What people? That's the question we're going to look at in just a minute. Statement number 6. Herod decided to wait until after Easter, whatever Easter is. He decided to wait until after Easter to bring Peter forth to the people, whoever that bunch of people are. Well, Acts 12:4 says that, and we've read it. So, there's 2 evidences to establish that the context is about the Christian celebration, not the Jewish Passover. Let's see if we can prove it. The appearance of Pascha in Acts chapter 12 is unique. How is it unique? Well, because it's the only post-resurrection appearance of the word where it refers to a current event. Passover, Pascha, appears a couple of other times in the New Testament. Listen to me. It appears a couple of other times in the New Testament, but it's referring back to the Old Testament Passover, clearly, at what happened at a previous time. And then another place it talks about Christ being our Passover, symbolically or spiritually. But as to a current event, this is the only occurrence of Pascha. The word is translated Passover everywhere else. So what's the difference? Look here. Passover, Pascha, in all the other parts of the Bible, appeared as the Old Testament, in the context of the Old Testament, passing over the Jews in Egypt while they were down there with the blood on the doorpost. But here, it's the only time Pascha appears after the resurrection of the Lord, or referring to a current event. So, it's unique. Do you see what I'm saying here? Let's just soak in just a little bit. Now that Jesus has died on the cross, now that He's been resurrected from the dead, now Pascha appears only one time, and now it is no longer referring to the Old Testament Passover, but now it refers to Christ's current status of being our Passover, and that it's in the New Testament context of the resurrection now. Number 2, second evidence. Why Herod wanted to wait until after the Pascha to bring forth Peter to the people. Okay, so here's a question. Herod's got Peter in jail, right? And he's going to bring him out and see if he can execute him. But they had a tradition in Israel. Now remember, Herod is he's kind of like a cur dog. He's a turncoat. He's a Roman ruler. He's not a Jewish ruler. Yeah, he's an Edomite. He doesn't have any love for the Jews. And he's pagan, if he's anything at all. And so he doesn't have any love for the Jews, but he certainly doesn't have any love for the Christians. So what he's going to do is see if he can get Peter executed. They had a tradition. The Roman government would, on some of these special occasions, would bring out somebody like they did when Jesus was going to be crucified. And what did Pilate ask? Who will you that I release unto you? This one that's called Jesus, who's called the King of the Jews? Or would you rather I'd release Barabbas? Remember that? He would give, the Roman ruler would give them a choice. And who did the people cry out for when Jesus, the choice was given between Jesus and Barabbas? They said, release unto us Barabbas. And he said, what do you want me to do with this one called Jesus? And they said, crucify him. And so this was a tradition in Israel. So why is this important? Because when Herod brings out Peter, if he brings him out in the presence of a bunch of Jewish people, let me pull up my next little point here, he would have no fear of bringing up Peter before the Jewish people at Jewish Passover. Why? Because at Passover, they're going to be a bunch of traditional Orthodox Jews. These traditional Orthodox Jews, Herod wouldn't have feared to bring out Peter then. Why? Because those Jews hate Peter just like they did Jesus. And they're not going to let Peter off. They want him killed. That's what Herod wants. But wait a minute. If the context is the Passover, Herod would have had no fear at all bringing Peter out in front of the Jews at Passover, because they would have been on his side. Execute Peter. Give us somebody else to be set free. But what if there was a bunch of Jewish Christians in town celebrating the Christian celebration of Easter? Or if Herod goes out in front of all these Christian Jews, they identify with Peter. He's the leader of the pack. Peter's the one that everybody knows. And if Herod brings out Peter while they're having this Christian celebration of Easter, who's going to be the most people in town then? It's going to be the Christians. Well, the Christians are going to say, no, don't execute Peter. Give us Peter and you execute somebody else. So the context would show that Easter is a Christian celebration that's in question right here. That is the context, because that would fit perfectly why Herod would not bring out Peter if we're talking about the Jewish Pascha, the Jewish Passover. He would have nothing to fear in that case. But if we're talking about the Christian celebration of resurrection, then he wouldn't want to do it. He'd want to wait till after Easter. Isn't that what the verse says? Let me read it to you again. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter. Why would he wait till after Easter? All those Christians are going to go home. After the Christian celebration of Easter is over, they're going to go home. So after Easter, Herod could bring him out, and there wouldn't be all those Christians there to protest. So it seems pretty clear that the context of Acts chapter 12, verse 4 would support this being the Christian celebration. The word Easter, here's what we conclude. The word Easter is correctly used in the King James Bible to designate the Christian celebration of the resurrection of Christ. It's not a mistake. It should not have been translated Passover. Listen, if you read the commentaries, most of the commentaries are going to say, well, this was supposed to be Easter, or was supposed to be Passover. No. They're wrong. You say, you mean the commentators can be wrong? Yeah, they're wrong about other stuff too. Well, they are. Commentators are not right about everything. You know who they are? They're people like you and me. And they are not responsible for writing the Bible. They're supposed to be interpreting it, and people are not perfect, and they misinterpret sometimes. Even good people misinterpret. So, yes, it's a correct word. The connection of Easter with Pascha in the language of history and Bible versions is obvious. Easter is connected with Pascha. Easter is connected with the Passover. It's connected with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not with Ishtar, the goddess. Then the link between the Jewish Passover and the Christian celebration of the resurrection of Jesus is very clear. The Last Supper was a Passover, and Jesus transferred the Last Supper into the Lord's Supper. And at the same time, the Pascha was no longer the Jewish celebration. It is now the celebration of the body and blood of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection, if you will. And the King James translators were very diligent in their comparison with other versions and with each other in establishing that the word Easter is in its proper context when you read it like we just did. So, is Easter the real word? Yeah. Is it okay to celebrate Easter? Yeah. Is it okay to call it Easter? Yeah. So what do you do with people that don't agree? Don't worry about them. Just don't worry about them. I just wanted you to know the truth. I can't convince anybody else, but I can show you and give you the opportunity to know the truth. And if you run across somebody, understand, or obviously you're probably not going to remember all this stuff that's been presented to you tonight, but if you just remember this, that when Jesus met with his disciples to celebrate the Lord's Supper, that Old Testament Passover was changed into the Lord's Supper, and so was the Old Testament word Pascha then became a reference to Easter, the death, burial, and resurrection. So, should we celebrate Easter Sunday? I think we will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you that because he bled and died on Calvary's cross, we can have forgiveness of sins, be born into the family of God, and Lord, we can have eternal life. Thank you for that resurrection that proved that Jesus was the Son of God. I pray that you'd bless us tonight. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone on listening by way of internet or by recorded sermon, or maybe someone in this room who does not know for sure, 100%, that they've been born into the family of God, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to know that Jesus loves them, died for them, rose again for them, and sits on the right hand of God, waiting for them to come to him and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of their life. I pray that you'd bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you stand, please, quietly, if you're able to stand to your feet while the music plays?